very good. This morning, obviously what I want to talk about is Lazarus, but that's just a pretext, really. What I want to really talk about is Jesus. So let me get my notes. I wonder where my notes are. I thought I brought them. Maybe I didn't. Well, I could just make it up as we go along. Let's see. Nope. Nope. Okay. Well, that's all right. By the way, I do have a file. Some of you want the outline for the sermon, which is fine. I'm happy to send it to you. And I have the file. I haven't lost that. I can send that along. Some years ago, I was called to a house to talk to one of our parishioners' father who was dying. In fact, he was on his deathbed. And on his deathbed, he made a confession of faith, the first time he ever proclaimed faith in Christ. And the next day, he died. A very powerful moment that he had. And he had never done that before. Now, some people think, well, deathbed confessions, that's hell insurance. But I don't think so. I thought this man was completely genuine. And I was very happy to see that. So was his daughter and son-in-law and the rest of his family. Because one of the things that I think is absolutely true about the Christian life and following Jesus is that Jesus raises the dead. That's one of the main things Jesus does. He raises the dead. And this man, on his deathbed, had something in his heart that was still dead, and Jesus raised it at that moment. And I think that that happens all the time. You don't have to be on your deathbed for that to happen. In fact, for some of us here today, that might happen, where there's something dead within you, and Jesus will raise that from the dead. Robert Farrar Capon said this, and I've quoted him before. He said, Jesus did not come to renew the renewable, to improve the improvable, or to correct the correctable. Jesus came to raise the dead. It's very easy for us to think, well, Jesus came to improve the improvable. And there's a lot around in Christian teaching or thought or atmosphere that says, well, if I tithe, then I'll get more money. Or if I come to meetings and things like that, I'll get more friends. Or what if I'm more faithful, I'll have a better life. And that is not the purpose of Jesus coming to earth. It's not the purpose of him coming for us. He came to raise the dead. And there are things perhaps in our lives that he will raise from the dead. Not to mention our own very lives when our lives get to that point. So, to talk about that, we have the parable of Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. One of the interesting things about this parable is that in all the parables of Jesus, he only names one person by name, and that's Lazarus. Everybody else, like they're the Good Samaritan or whatever, right? This one gets a name. So here they are. A somewhat familiar story for us, but just to go over the details so that we're all looking at the same thing. Here's the rich man, Lazarus, and he's living a life of comfort and has all kinds of things. Lazarus is at his door, starving, out in the elements, no home, sores all over him. Lazarus' dogs seem to pay some attention to him, going to lick his sores, but nobody else. Lazarus doesn't. And then it comes along, they both die, and Lazarus is carried by angels to heaven, and we don't see how the rich man made it to hell, but there he is. And he's in torment, as you could imagine. And so he calls out to Abraham and says, this is just awful. This is such torment. Could you get Lazarus to come and bring me just a little bit of coolness on the tip of his finger and let him touch my tongue? And of course, as you know, the answer was no. That's not going to happen. Nobody can cross anyway the great divide. Well, what about my brothers? Can Lazarus go and talk to my brothers? No, can't go talk to your brothers. Your brothers have enough to believe. They have Moses and the prophets. They look at that, and that's all you need to come to belief. Well, Lazarus is just there, and that's the end of the story for him. There's something very interesting about the rich man and his requests. Because the rich man was still working to improve what he thought was the improvable. And he was doing it the way he used to do it when he lived on the earth. And so he was sending out a message to have somebody do his bidding. And that somebody was Lazarus. He says to Abraham, could you get Lazarus to do this? Or could you get Lazarus to do that? So also that the situation could be improved, because maybe it could be, is what he was thinking. But as we mentioned, Jesus did not come to improve the improvable. He came to raise the dead. And that's what he was doing here. That's what he's pointing to here. He's pointing to the means of how it happens, which is by receiving what Jesus has, and that is new life. See, Jesus didn't come to give us a better life. I'm hoping you're all okay with that. If not, that's okay with me, but you know, that's fine. He didn't come to give us a better life. He came to give us a new life. That new life is what he gives us by his Spirit, in which we follow after him. We gain the power to do what we cannot do when we're trying to improve our lives on our own, when we come up with our plan of how our lives should be and then work to do that. Now, you don't have to give that up. It's just that that's not what Jesus gives us. Jesus gives us new life. The life of the Spirit of God, the life of the kingdom of God. He gives us vision for our life from the kingdom of God. People become Christians and they may not get more money. They may have less friends. Some places in the world, they may not live much longer. But in every case, you have new life. Now, how does that translate over to us? What happens in our lives that constitutes new life? Now, most of us, of course, are living fairly comfortable lives, and we have the things we need and so forth. Doesn't mean we're like the rich man. Many of us are also very generous with our time, our money, helping other people, which is a great thing to do. However, within our own hearts and souls, there may be things that are dead. There may be something that's dead within us for one reason or another. One reason just might be a tough time in a relationship. Maybe some abuse in a relationship. Maybe when we were little or later on in life. Or a great disappointment that happened, and it's as if something died within our heart or within our soul. Or very many things. Maybe there's things coming to your mind right now in your own life. And the Spirit of God right at this moment is shining a light on something that's dead because something killed it. In the power of the Spirit of God, Jesus can raise that to new life. Can raise your whole life into new life by bringing that thing back from the dead. And I don't just mean reanimating it so that it was the same it was before. I mean putting it into the level of the kingdom of God, where what Jesus desires from that thing in your life is now on the plane that he is on, is now in the way that he is going, is now in the truth that he is. and it's going along that path. That can happen this morning with you and with me. It can happen with the very things that we think are dead and buried. And those are the very things that Jesus says, come forth. Now, I want to encourage you to be not only thinking about that right at this moment, but connecting with the Spirit of God about that. Is there something the Spirit of God is bringing to your mind that might be dead in your life? To which he is saying, that's what I will raise to new life. We may not even know what it'll look like until it's risen. Is there something like that in your life right now? Let's just take a moment before the Lord of silence. And then after that, we'll ask him to raise the new life, whatever he's desiring to do. Lord Jesus, we ask now the things that are dead within us that you wish to raise to new life. We ask that now at this moment you would do that very thing. That as we come today to the table, it would be for us the table of life. And that which we thought was long dead would be raised. And our lives would take on the very qualities of the kingdom that you desire for us to walk in. And we ask for that today, for the glory of your name. Amen. Let's stand and profess our faith in Christ. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,